from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
And deals. High fly ball hit to deep left center field. Going back steer at the wall. Looks up. It's gone. Dansby Swanson gives the Cubs the lead. A two-run home run. It's 7-5 Cubs here in the eighth.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it's the hit that we've been lacking through this stretch for sure. So to get it, it feels good for sure. And it feels great for Dansby. I think we were all thrilled for Dansby. Just, you know, he needed it. And to have the hit that wins the game, that's a big deal.
Craig Counsell from last night on that Dansby Swanson two-run homer in the eighth inning, which set up the Cubs to have Hector Neris close it out and pull out a win on a very strange evening. We'll talk about today in a matter of moments, but let's recap for anybody who didn't get a chance to stay up or anybody who hasn't been with us from the very top of the show where we talked quite a bit about it. What was a very strange night at Wrigley Field. Matt Spiegel here with you on Hit and Run. I was there. I was supposed to do some post game with Fox television after the game, which ended up being canceled because the game went so late because there was a rain delay of more than 3 hours. Then they started the game first pitch at 9:35. That is the third latest first pitch for any game at Wrigley Field since 2003 when they started to track game start data. So the third latest ever at Wrigley since 2003. And the game started. It was continuing to rain in a very weird mist the entire time. Craziness happening in the second inning. Seiya Suzuki dropping a routine fly ball that would have ended an inning with the bases loaded, allowing 3 runs to score. Another run scored, so it was 4 unearned. And then in the bottom of the inning, an absolutely incredible moment as Seiya hit a grand slam to get all 4 runs back. That one 4-4. It goes to the eighth, tied at 5, and that's when Dansby homers. And it was a truly a weird night, just an odd air and pretty incredible crowd that stuck around through 3 hours of a rain delay to watch that one. Dansby Swanson needed it badly. He has been scuffling and struggling and in the eight hole with very good reason. The $177 million man, after a stint on the disabled list or the injured list, I should say, his defense has been a lot better. There was still a base running error the other night, and it's been the offensive trouble, a lot of pulled ground balls, including one earlier in the game last night for a double play. But that moment, a big one, and his middle of the diamond partner, Nico Horner, was on base. And you'll hear in Dansby's postgame him talk about Nico, who stopped at second base, turned around, and gave a huge yell and a couple of pump fists towards Dansby as he rounded first base, because everybody knew that Dansby needed it. Before we talk about today and the roster moves and the lineup, listen to Dansby Swanson postgame from last night at Wrigley Field.
Steady on the right path and very thankful to have a relationship with Jesus, that he can keep me steady in those moments and be there for me and love me. And I will say, like, Nico, I told him when I got in, I was like, dude, when you looked at me, like, it got me even more fired up. You know, like, he just his competitive spirit is so fun to be around, and just his ability to want to compete every day. And the juice was flowing for sure.
Are you going to give me the 75 degrees and sunny speech, or was it actually pretty hard to play in those conditions last night?
No, No, I woke up with a grateful heart, you know, today. Just thankful to be able to play this game, and you know, it's kind of one of those things where I look at it like I get to play in the rain. If I was a kid, I probably would have, like, you know, really made my mom mad for the amount of mud I would have had on me playing around outside if it was raining like that. So just so blessed to be here and to be able to play. Yeah, great day, obviously. I may be wearing this every day for the rest of the season. Just watching her do what she loves to do, and to do it at the caliber that she does it is so inspiring for so many people, and it's just, it brings a lot of joy to my heart to be able to watch her compete.
Is she throwing a Coach Swanson jersey?
We might have to get on that. might leave an extra one here for when they play here in a week.
You said, like, we kind of needed that one. What's that balance of, like, hey, you know, it's a long season, but also, like, you guys have been playing the way you want it, one little longer than probably. How do you find that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think. Yeah, I think that there's so many moments in a season, right? And there's just some when they're capitalized on, it can really, like, change the momentum, you know, obviously of a season, and hopefully that something like tonight, and even, you know, points yesterday where we, you know, really, we've been kind of knocking on the door, right? Just some of the late inning rallies and things of that nature can really build some momentum, and to be able to get in the win column because of that great effort, you know, we'll definitely spur us in the right direction, and looking forward to tomorrow and the next 4 months.
Hero Dansby Swanson, he was wearing, as he discussed there, the jersey of his wife, Mallory Swanson, who had an incredible day yesterday for the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. They were playing in Colorado. They beat South Korea 4-0, and Mallory Swanson scored a goal in each half. Her first international goal since she ruptured her patella tendon 14 months ago. So looking forward to the Olympics coming up in Paris this summer, and the U.S. Women's National Team with a win yesterday. So great day for the Swansons. Overall, that is for sure. All right. So we move on to today, and we have a lineup, but more than that, we have some roster moves. Adbert Alzolay moved to the 60-day injured list. He's already been on the injured list for a few weeks. He's been fully shut down as they check out that forearm, and that means it's going to be a while to ramp up. So they'll use some time with him on the 60-day. That's troubling for the bullpen overall, because Julian Merriweather is already on that 60-day, because Yancy Almonte is still just throwing off flat ground and they don't have future plans lined up for him. So all three of those guys expected to be three of your most important power arms in a bullpen that was already worrisome. None of them will be back this month in June. None of them. And it's likely that none of them will be back before the All-Star break. Maybe Almonte, but certainly now not Adbert, and certainly now not Merriweather. So, boy, they're going to need some help in that bullpen. You'll look to the minors, where Carl Edwards Jr. is still on AAA Iowa, got his sixth save, I believe it was, last night, where Michael Arias, a very interesting three-quarter arm, who was called up from AA to AAA, has not been great so far at AAA, but is a really interesting arm and might get called up before long. And when Jordan Wicks, who's starting today at AAA, hopefully comes back healthy to the rotation, maybe Ben Brown becomes part of that bullpen mix. I would expect that to be the case. But anyway, Adbert Alzolay to the 60-day. The corresponding moves, David Bote to the major leagues. The return of David Bote, who years ago signed a $10 million total contract preemptively before his arbitration years, and has not really given the Cubs anything of value on the big league level since. In fact, right now this year, I believe he's making $4.5 million, maybe $5 million, and he's been in AAA, and people have been clamoring for him in replacement for Nick Madrigal, and that is absolutely what has happened. Bote is here. And Nick Madrigal has been optioned down to AAA. So David Bote is here. Here is Craig Counsell talking about David Bote being promoted to the big club earlier today.
Craig, what do you just tell us about the decision to bring David up, and how the conversation go with Madrigal?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, ultimately it's a move to, you know, on a day like today, just try to get some offense against left-handed pitching. I think that's what we think David can provide, and probably his best skill set is to be a bat against left-handed pitching. Yeah, and the conversation with Nick was, you know, that there's more in Nick. You know, there's a better version of Nick. And look, you get put in a role when you're a part-time player and you're a defensive replacement and facing kind of cold late inning relievers or playing sparingly, and it's a difficult role to play in the big leagues. But it's one that is also valuable and important, and I think we think, you know, Nick can do it and do it well. We don't think he can do better than he did this time.
So that's Craig Counsell on David Bote up to the big club and Nick Madrigal down. Sean Sears, our producer, did you say there's one more about what Nick Madrigal is going to be working on at AAA Iowa while he's there?
That is correct.
Yeah, I mean, I think offensively there's a better player in there. And I mean, he is a, you know, he's a unique player in the game today in that he's batting average driven a little bit, right? And that's hard to do in today's game. But there still has to be some of the other things, and that is there has to be some walk in there. There has to be some slug in there. That's how you get to offensive value. There needs to be a little bit more of that.
Oh, boy. I don't like the idea of Nick Madrigal trying to add slug. I really don't. Try to add walk? Sure. Sure. You want to use what seems to be a decent eye a little bit more and try to get on? Okay. But the slug is not there. And when that guy tries to slug is when he grounds out or when he flies out because there's not a lot of power in there.
Well, he went down to Iowa last year and hit like two or three home runs with Iowa before he got called back up and then didn't hit one again until you called one, I think.
yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, you know, the big leagues, it's a different smoke to try and hit home runs in the big leagues, as Pete Crow Armstrong is finding out. He hit a ball very hard yesterday that wasn't quite out of here. Wasn't quite out of the ballpark. It's a different thing. But Madrigal's got to be a guy who's thinking opposite field, who's thinking line drive every time that he's up there. And any time that he's not thinking that, and that's not the approach, seems like he gets in trouble. Here's the lineup for today. Nico Hoerner leads off against the lefty Nick Lodolo of the Reds. Nico Hoerner leads off. Seiya Suzuki bats second. Cody Bellinger third. He's playing center. Chris Morel is the designated hitter and hits fourth. Patrick Wisdom batting fifth. He'll play first base today as they really lean on this lineup against the lefty Lodolo. Ian Happ will hit sixth and play left field. Ian's looked very good from the left side. We'll see how he looks from the right today. Dansby Swanson up to the seventh spot at shortstop. David Bote right in to the lineup and will play third base at the eighth spot. Miguel Amaya is your catcher and he hits ninth. So look, when you've got a fan base clamoring for David Bote, that lets you know kind of where the season is right now and where some of the hopes are. But what I find very interesting is Morel at DH and Bote at third. Anytime that Morel is in the lineup with either Bote or Wisdom, Morel will be the DH. And Wisdom or Bote will probably be at third. In this case, Wisdom at first and Bote at third. Morel's error last night was brutal. Morel made an error on a throw to second. And earlier in the show, we talked to John DeWan from Fielding Bible, and Christopher Morel is down at -7 runs saved, tied for dead last among all third basemen in Major League Baseball. And, I'm not saying I think the Christopher Morel third base experiment is over, but I think you'll see it more infrequently when somebody like David Bote is up here than you would have when somebody like Nick Madrigal is up here. So it's a worthy experiment to try and find a position for Morel. But the offense has obviously been slumping for Morel, and the defense has stayed slumping. So there's Chris at DH and Bote at third. Very interesting. On the bench today, Michael Busch, Pete Crow Armstrong, Yan Gomes, and Mike Talkman. Three lefties, all of whom who could be starting and have been starting. but this is a matchup-based lineup decision, and you wonder if it is a defensive-based lineup decision between Bodie and Morrell. That's something we will keep an eye on as we go. It is Nick Lodolo against Ben Brown, and that'll be coming up a little bit later today. Today, the Cubs take on the Reds in the series finale at Wrigley. Pregame coverage starts at 12:45 with Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer on the call for first pitch at 1:20. You can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. And tomorrow, remember that tomorrow, Mully and Haw's show, the Mully and Haw show tomorrow morning, will feature NFL Network reporter Stacey Dales filling in for Mully and joining David Haw. Tune in starting at 5:30 tomorrow morning. They'll be talking Bears and Chicago sports right here on The Score and on the free Odyssey app. One more reminder that Danny Parkins and I, Parkins and Spiegel, will be doing something we've never done before, broadcasting live on the field at Wrigley this Tuesday afternoon before Cubs and White Sox. Parkins and Spiegel from 2 to 6, joined by Nico Horner, Craig Counsell, Steve Stone, and other special guests prior to Game 1 of Cub versus Sox. Tune in Tuesday starting at 2 right here on The Score and on the free Odyssey app. Matt Spiegeler with you on Hit and Run. Hear from the great media critic Richard Deitch about Major League Baseball play-by-play coming up in a little bit. And the MLB's home run leader just keeps on rolling as May turns into June. All of that is next in advance of Cubs-Reds right here on The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Driven deep to left field, Ramos back, track, wall, see ya! A long home run and a dream weekend for Aaron Judge. It's 2-0 Yanks.
This is really becoming ridiculous, Michael. I mean, this is some kind of pace that he has put together the last month or so. It's 21st of the year. The scouting report, Webb's only given up 2 home runs all year. Well, make it 3 and a long one.
Welcome back in on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. That man is outrageous. Aaron Judge dominated the month of May with an OPS of more than 1.4. 1.4! Absolutely outrageous. I think he homered, what, 13 times in May? And then June 1 comes and he hits one 460 feet. 21 home runs for Aaron Judge. We always like to look at the leaderboards on a Sunday morning. Now it's Sunday midday, because it harkens back to a time when the Sunday morning newspapers was the only time you could see all the stats. But yeah, Judge at 21 home runs leads all of MLB, and his 47 RBIs these days are fifth in all of MLB. Marcell Ozuna of the Atlanta Braves, who homered as well yesterday, his 17th, is second in RBIs. What's amazing is that Jose Ramirez had an absolutely brutal first month of the year for the Cleveland Guardians, and he has rounded back into form and resumed being Jose Ramirez, and he leads Major League Baseball with 57 RBIs. Absolutely amazing. What's always amazing about Jose Ramirez is that he doesn't strike out. 27 strikeouts for Jose Ramirez is absolutely incredible for somebody who produces as much as he does. In fact, you look at his 27 strikeouts, his 57 RBIs, you have to go to the second realm of the leaderboard, all the way down to Mookie Betts at number 40 in RBIs, until you find somebody who has struck out fewer times than Jose Ramirez. It's astonishing what that guy does every single year. So Ramirez is your league leader in RBIs. In terms of OPS, league-wide, it is Aaron Judge. His teammate Juan Soto is second. Those are the two most productive sluggers in MLB, Judge and Soto, followed by Ohtani and Ozuna and Kyle Tucker having a breakout year that nobody's really paying that much attention to because the Astros have been underwhelming. And Kyle Tucker's having a terrific year. Gunnar Henderson is top 6 in OPS. Brent Rooker is there at number 7. Number 8 in OPS is Bryce Harper, who hit an absolute blast yesterday into the upper deck for the Phillies. A game in which Ranger Suarez was pitching, and he has been absolutely terrific. He is your major league leader in earned run average, as Ranger Suarez, with a 1.70 ERA. But he left after two innings yesterday when he got hit on the pitching hand by a line drive. Just a bruise, as it turns out. So that is very good news for the Philadelphia Phillies. Ranger Suarez, number one in MLB. Number two, Seth Lugo of the Kansas City Royals. Are you kidding me? After 12 starts. And Reynaldo Lopez, number three in all of MLB in ERA. Incredible. In terms of saves around the game, that man, Emmanuel Clase, not Classy, is up there at 18. Ryan Helsley of the Cardinals, Robert Suarez of the Padres, Kyle Finnegan, somebody indeed the Cubs should look at. But it's hard to think about trading for a closer when so many other issues have presented themselves on the Cubs. It is Matt Spiegler with you on Hit and Run. Looking forward to what should be a fun day of baseball. Obviously, you got Cubs and Reds coming up in a little bit. In terms of the White Sox, they've got the Brewers again this afternoon. That's coming up at 1:10. Nick Nastrini against Freddie Peralta in that one. But before we get out of here, wanted to let you hear from Richard Deitch on this week's episode of the PBP. The PBP Voices of Baseball is a podcast I love doing so much. Talk to different play-by-play voices from all around the game every single week. I can tell you that this week's guest upcoming is going to be Chip Carey, the voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, and obviously the grandson of Harry Carey, longtime voice of the Cubs, former Cub of the voice of the White Sox. Chip, also the son of Skip Carey, the longtime voice of the Atlanta Braves. So third generation broadcaster Chip Carey, he'll be this week's guest on the PBP. But on last week's show, which you'll hear a snippet of now, thought we would talk about a little bit about John Schriffen of the White Sox, a little bit about Jenny Kavnar of the Oakland A's, and a little bit about the state of Major League Baseball play-by-play with Richard Deitch. But one thing we also got a chance to do with Richard is to talk about his favorite calls in all of baseball history, as a devotee of play-by-play, as a devotee of sports and broadcasting in general, the media critic from The Athletic and The New York Times, Richard Deitch, talking about his favorite calls in the history of baseball. All right, Richard, if I were to ask you for your favorite call in the history of baseball on the radio or television.
Wow.
I know, it's pretty vast. I'm aware. If you need a minute, it's okay, but it could be... could be anything by anybody from the history of the game. There's nothing quite like it, obviously.
Well, that's a good one. I mean, I love Jack Buck's call of Kirk Gibson's, obviously.
And add Sack batting, but we have a big 3-2 pitch coming here from Eckersley. Gibson swings and a fly ball to deep right field. This is going to be a home run. Unbelievable. A home run for Gibson. And the Dodgers have won the game 5-4. I don't believe what I just saw. I don't believe what I just saw. Is this really happening, Bill?
It is happening, and they've got to help him home. The third base coach, Joe Malfitano, had to give him a little push, and all the Dodgers are around home plate.
I don't believe what I just saw. One of the most remarkable finishes to any World Series game. A one-handed home run by Kirk Gibson, and the Dodgers have won it 5-4. I am stunned, Bill. I have seen a lot of dramatic finishes in a lot of sports, but this one might top almost every other one.
I also like Buck's call when I think the Twins sent it to Game 7, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
Into deep left center from Mitchell, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
Yeah, but Jack Sr. did it, and then Joe did it.
I do like, I will say growing up to me, one that really always stayed with me is Bob Murphy when Mookie Wilson scored.
And the pitch by Stanley at a ground ball, trickling, it is a fair ball, hit by Buckner, down the third night, the Mets will win the ball game, the Mets win, they win! box in stunned disbelief. A slow ground ball went right through the legs of Buckner down the right field line. The Mets have won the ball game.
This one is just, you know, again, as a New Yorker, that always stays with me just because, like, it's had such an impact nationally, is when Cosell basically announced on Monday Night Baseball that the Bronx was burning.
That's a live shot again of that fire in the South Bronx that Keith called to your attention just a few moments ago. Wonder how many alarms are involved, but as Keith said, the fire department really has its work cut out for it.
You know, it became the famous title of a miniseries and all that stuff, where there was fire in the background of Yankee Stadium.
And that's during a baseball game. I forgot. Yes. I thought you were going to say John Lennon during Monday Night Football. But
no. Check that out. And then obviously, you know, the Bronx has had a great revitalization and turnaround. But go back and check that out. I think it was 77. But Cosell basically mentioned that, and it was on national TV. And, was obviously a very, very big deal back in the day in New York. The great thing about baseball is, I mean, you can choose from 1,000 of these. That's what's great.
I can't wait to go back and listen to the Buckner and Mookie Wilson play on Mets radio, because the TV call is so amazing. Scully, Boog Shambi pointed it out. When you listen to the Scully call, Scully says, behind the bag, it gets through Buckner.
So the winning run is at second base with two out, 3-2 to Mookie Wilson. Little roller up along first, behind the bag, it gets through Buckner, here comes Knight, and the Mets win it!
So choosing that in real time, he might not have seen that it went through the legs, but he sees that the man is there and he's supposed to have stopped it.
You know? Yeah, I mean, you know, again, there's a reason why he's the Poet Laureate.
Richard Deitch, the longtime media critic and this week's guest on the PBP Voices of Baseball. Once again, please find that on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. The PBP Voices of Baseball. I do that show. I do Parkins and Spiegel, which will be back tomorrow on The Score. Parkins and Spiegel will be on the field on Tuesday at Wrigley Field. Cubs Sox will be there during batting practice. Guests include Nico Horner, Craig Counsell, Steve Stone, and more. Surprises to come. Really looking forward to that. Thank you so much to all of you who listened and called and texted today on Hit and Run. This show is such a joy to do in our unique two-team town. Thank you to Sean Sears for doing a great job producing, as he always does. Thank you to the guests on today's show. John Dewan from Baseball Info Solutions was on the show. Gordon Wittenmeyer, the longtime Cubs beat writer and now the Reds beat writer, was on the show. Tony Andracki from Marquee Sports Network as well. Cubs and Reds pregame is next. Keep it right here on 670 The Score. Thanks, everyone. Talk to you on Parkins and Spiegel tomorrow.
It feels like this run the White Sox are on, we're catching teams at the wrong time.
Well, there's that. There's a few other reasons, but that's certainly one of them. I mean, the Brewers have been playing good, solid baseball all year, and they really didn't know what they were going to have coming in.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
And deals. High fly ball hit to deep left center field, going back steer at the wall, looks up, it's gone! Dansby Swanson gives the Cubs the lead! A two-run home run! It's 7-5 Cubs here in the eighth.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it's the hit that we've been lacking through this stretch for sure. So to get it, it feels good for sure. And it feels great for Dansby. I think we were all thrilled for Dansby. Just, you know, he needed it. And to have the hit that wins the game, that's a big deal.
Craig Counsell from last night on that Dansby Swanson two-run homer in the eighth inning, which set up the Cubs to have Hector Neris close it out and pull out a win on a very strange evening. We'll talk about today in a matter of moments, but let's recap for anybody who didn't get a chance to stay up or anybody who hasn't been with us from the very top of the show where we talked quite a bit about it. What was a very strange night at Wrigley Field. Matt Spiegel here with you on Hit and Run. I was there. I was supposed to do some post game with Fox Television after the game, which ended up being canceled because the game went so late because there was a rain delay of more than 3 hours. Then they started the game first pitch at 9:35. That is the third latest first pitch for any game at Wrigley Field since 2003 when they started to track game start data. So the third latest ever at Wrigley since 2003. And the game started, it was continuing to rain in a very weird mist the entire time. Craziness happening in the second inning. Seiya Suzuki dropping a routine fly ball that would have ended an inning with the bases loaded, allowing three runs to score. Another run scored, so it was four unearned. And then in the bottom of the inning, an absolutely incredible moment as Seiya hit a grand slam to get all four runs back. That one 4-4. It goes to the eighth, tied at five, and that's when Dansby homers. And it was a truly a weird night, just an odd air and pretty incredible crowd that stuck around through 3 hours of a rain delay to watch that one. Dansby Swanson needed it badly. He has been scuffling and struggling and in the eight hole with very good reason, the $177 million man. After a stint on the disabled list or the injured list, I should say, his defense has been a lot better. There was still a base running error the other night, and it's been the offensive trouble. A lot of pulled ground balls, including one earlier in the game last night for a double play. But that moment, a big one, and his middle of the diamond partner, Nico Horner, was on base. And you'll hear in Dansby's postgame him talk about Nico, who stopped at second base, turned around, and gave a huge yell and a couple of pump fists towards Dansby as he rounded first base, because everybody knew that Dansby needed it. Before we talk about today and the roster moves and the lineup, listen to Dansby Swanson postgame from last night at Wrigley Field.
Steady on the right path and very thankful to have a relationship with Jesus, that he can keep me steady in those moments and be there for me and love me. And I will say, like, Nico, I told him when I got in, I was like, dude, when you looked at me, like, it got me even more fired up. You know, like, he just his competitive spirit is so fun to be around, and just his ability to want to compete every day. And, got the juices flowing for sure.
Are you going to give me the 75 degrees and sunny speech, or was it actually pretty hard to play in those conditions last night?
No, I woke up with a grateful heart, you know, today. Just thankful to be able to play this game, and it's kind of one of those things where I look at it like I get to play in the rain. If I was a kid, I probably would have, like, you know, really made my mom mad for the amount of mud I would have had on me playing around outside if it was raining like that. So just so blessed to be here and to be able to play. Yeah, great day, obviously. I may be wearing this every day for the rest of the season. She just watching her do what she loves to do, and to do it at the caliber that she does it is so inspiring for so many people, and it's just, it brings a lot of joy to my heart to be able to watch her compete.
Is she throwing a Coach Swanson jersey?
We might have to get on that. might leave an extra one here for when they play here in a week. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So like we kind of needed that one. What's that balance of like, hey, you know it's a long season, but also like you guys have been playing the way you want it, one little longer than probably you thought. How do you find that right?
Yeah, I mean, I think I think that there's so many moments in a season, right? And there's just some when they're capitalized on, it can really like change the momentum, you know, obviously of a season, and hopefully that something like tonight, and even, you know, points yesterday where we, you know, really we've been kind of knocking on the door, right? Just some of the late inning rallies and things of that nature can really build some momentum, and to be able to get in the win column because of that great effort, you know, we'll definitely spur us in the right direction, and looking forward to tomorrow and the next 4 months.
Hero Dansby Swanson, he was wearing, as he discussed there, the jersey of his wife, Mallory Swanson, who had an incredible day yesterday for the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. They were playing in Colorado. They beat South Korea 4-0, and Mallory Swanson scored a goal in each half. Her first international goals since she ruptured her patella tendon 14 months ago. So looking forward to the Olympics coming up in Paris this summer and the U.S. Women's National Team with a win yesterday. So great day for the Swansons overall, that is for sure. All right, so we move on to today, and we have a lineup, but more than that, we have some roster moves. Adbert Alzolay moved to the 60-day injured list. He's already been on the injured list for a few weeks. He's been fully shut down as they check out that forearm, and that means it's going to be a while to ramp up. So they'll use some time with him on the 60-day. That's troubling for the bullpen overall because Julian Merriweather is already on that 60-day, because Yancy Almonte is still just throwing off flat ground and they don't have future plans lined up for him. So all three of those guys expected to be three of your most important power arms in a bullpen that was already worrisome. None of them will be back this month in June. None of them. And it's likely that none of them will be back before the All-Star break. Maybe Almonte, but certainly now not Adbert, and certainly now not Merriweather. So, boy, they're going to need some help in that bullpen. You'll look to the minors where Carl Edwards Jr. is still on AAA Iowa, got his sixth save, I believe it was, last night, where Michael Arias, a very interesting three-quarter arm, who was called up from AA to AAA, has not been great so far at AAA, but is a really interesting arm and might get called up before long. And when Jordan Wicks, who's starting today at AAA, hopefully comes back healthy to the rotation, maybe Ben Brown becomes part of that bullpen mix. I would expect that to be the case. But anyway, Adbert Alzolay to the 60-day. The corresponding moves, David Bodie to the major leagues. The return of David Bodie, who years ago signed a $10 million total contract preemptively before his arbitration years and has not really given the Cubs anything of value on the big league level since. In fact, right now this year, I believe he's making $4.5 million, maybe $5 million, and he's been in AAA, and people have been clamoring for him in replacement for Nick Madrigal, and that is absolutely what has happened. Bodie is here. And Nick Madrigal has been optioned down to AAA. So David Bodie is here. Here is Craig Counsell talking about David Bodie being promoted to the big club earlier today.
Craig, what do you just tell us about the decision to bring David up and how the conversation go with Madrigal?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, ultimately it's a move to, you know, on a day like today, just try to get some offense against left-handed pitching. I think that's what we think David can provide, and probably his best skill set is to be a bat against left-handed pitching. And the conversation with Nick was, you know, that there's more in Nick. You know, there's a better version of Nick. And look, you get put in a role when you're a part-time player and you're a defensive replacement and facing kind of cold late inning relievers or playing sparingly, and it's a difficult role to play in the big leagues. But it's one that is also valuable and important, and I think we think, you know, Nick can do it and do it well. We don't think he can do better than he did this time.
So that's Craig Counsell on David Bodie up to the big club and Nick Madrigal down. Sean Sears, our producer, did you say there's one more about what Nick Madrigal is going to be working on at AAA Iowa while he's there?
That is correct.
Yeah, I mean, I think offensively there's a better player in there. And I mean, he is a, you know, he's a unique player in the game today in that he's batting average driven a little bit, right? And that's hard to do in today's game. But there still has to be some of the other things, and that is there has to be some walk in there. There has to be some slug in there. That's how you get to offensive value. There needs to be a little bit more of that.
Oh, boy. I don't like the idea of Nick Madrigal trying to add slug. I really don't. Try to add walk? Sure. Sure. You want to use what seems to be a decent eye a little bit more and try to get on? Okay. But the slug is not there. And when that guy tries to slug is when he grounds out or when he flies out because there's not a lot of power in there.
Well, he went down to Iowa last year and hit like two or three home runs with Iowa before he got called back up and then didn't hit one again until you called one, I think.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, you know, the big leagues, it's a different smoke to try and hit home runs in the big leagues, as Pete Crow Armstrong is finding out. He hit a ball very hard yesterday that wasn't quite out of here. Wasn't quite out of the ballpark. It's a different thing, but Madrigal's got to be a guy who's thinking opposite field, who's thinking line drive every time that he's up there, and any time that he's not thinking that, and that's not the approach, seems like he gets in trouble. Here's the lineup for today. Nico Hoerner leads off against the lefty Nick Lodolo of the Reds. Nico Hoerner leads off. Seiya Suzuki bats second. Cody Bellinger third. He's playing center. Chris Morel is the designated hitter and hits fourth. Patrick Wisdom batting fifth. He'll play first base today as they really lean on this lineup against the lefty Lodolo. Ian Happ will hit sixth and play left field. Ian's looked very good from the left side. We'll see how he looks from the right today. Dansby Swanson up to the seventh spot at shortstop. David Bodie right in to the lineup and will play third base at the eighth spot. Miguel Amaya is your catcher and he hits ninth. So look, when you've got a fan base clamoring for David Bodie, that lets you know kind of where the season is right now and where some of the hopes are. But what I find very interesting is Morel at DH and Bodie at third. Anytime that Morel is in the lineup with either Bodie or Wisdom, Morel will be the DH. And Wisdom or Bodie will probably be at third. In this case, Wisdom at first and Bodie at third. Morel's error last night was brutal. Morel made an error on a throw to second. And earlier in the show, we talked to John DeJuan from Fielding Bible, and Christopher Morel is down at -7 runs saved, tied for dead last among all third basemen in Major League Baseball. And, I'm not saying I think the Christopher Morel third base experiment is over, but I think you'll see it more infrequently when somebody like David Bodie is up here than you would have when somebody like Nick Madrigal is up here. So it's a worthy experiment to try and find a position for Morel. But the offense has obviously been slumping for Morel, and the defense has stayed slumping. So there's Chris at DH and Bodie at third. Very interesting. On the bench today, Michael Busch, Pete Crow Armstrong, Yan Gomes, and Mike Tauchman. Three lefties, all of whom who could be starting and have been starting. But this is a matchup-based lineup decision, and you wonder if it is a defensive-based lineup decision between Bodie and Morel. That's something we will keep an eye on as we go. It is Nick Lodolo against Ben Brown, and that'll be coming up a little bit later today. Today, the Cubs take on the Reds in the series finale at Wrigley. Pre-game coverage starts at 12:45 with Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer on the call for first pitch at 1:20. You can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. And remember that tomorrow, Mully and Haw's show, the Mully and Haw show tomorrow morning, will feature NFL Network reporter Stacey Dales filling in for Mully and joining David Haw. Tune in starting at 5:30 tomorrow morning. They'll be talking Bears and Chicago sports right here on The Score and on the free Odyssey app. One more reminder that Danny Parkins and I, Parkins and Spiegel, we'll be doing something we've never done before, broadcasting live on the field at Wrigley this Tuesday afternoon before Cubs and White Sox. Parkins and Spiegel from 2 to 6, joined by Nico Horner, Craig Counsell, Steve Stone, and other special guests prior to Game 1 of Cubs versus Sox. Tune in Tuesday starting at 2 right here on The Score and on the free Odyssey app. Matt Spiegeler with you on Hit and Run. Hear from the great media critic Richard Deitch about Major League Baseball play-by-play coming up in a little bit. And the MLB's home run leader just keeps on rolling as May turns into June. All of that is next in advance of Cubs-Reds right here on The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Driven deep to left field, Ramos back, track, wall, see ya! A long home run and a dream weekend for Aaron Judge. It's 2-0 Yanks.
This is really becoming ridiculous, Michael. I mean, this is some kind of pace that he has put together the last month or so. It's 21st of the year. The scouting report, Webb's only given up 2 home runs all year. Well, make it 3 and a long one.
Welcome back in on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. That man is outrageous. Aaron Judge dominated the month of May with an OPS of more than 1.4. 1.4! Absolutely outrageous. I think he homered, what, 13 times in May? And then June 1 comes and he hits one 460 feet. 21 home runs for Aaron Judge. We always like to look at the leaderboards on a Sunday morning. Now it's Sunday midday, because it harkens back to a time when the Sunday morning newspapers was the only time you could see all the stats. But yeah, Judge at 21 home runs leads all of MLB, and his 47 RBIs these days are fifth in all of MLB. Marcell Ozuna of the Atlanta Braves, who homered as well yesterday, his 17th, is second in RBIs. What's amazing is that Jose Ramirez had an absolutely brutal first month of the year for the Cleveland Guardians, and he has rounded back into form and resumed being Jose Ramirez, and he leads Major League Baseball with 57 RBIs. Absolutely amazing. What's always amazing about Jose Ramirez is that he doesn't strike out. 27 strikeouts for Jose Ramirez is absolutely incredible for somebody who produces as much as he does. In fact, you look at his 27 strikeouts, his 57 RBIs, you have to go to the second realm of the leaderboard, all the way down to Mookie Betts at number 40 in RBIs, until you find somebody who has struck out fewer times than Jose Ramirez. It's astonishing what that guy does every single year. So Ramirez is your league leader in RBIs. In terms of OPS, league-wide, it is Aaron Judge. His teammate Juan Soto is second. Those are the two most productive sluggers in MLB, Judge and Soto, followed by Ohtani and Ozuna and Kyle Tucker having a breakout year that nobody's really paying that much attention to because the Astros have been underwhelming. And Kyle Tucker's having a terrific year. Gunnar Henderson is top 6 in OPS. Brent Rooker is there at number 7. Number 8 in OPS is Bryce Harper, who hit an absolute blast yesterday into the upper deck for the Phillies, a game in which Ranger Suarez was pitching, and he has been absolutely terrific. He is your major league leader in earned run average as Ranger Suarez with a 1.70 ERA, but he left after 2 innings yesterday when he got hit on the pitching hand by a line drive. Just a bruise, as it turns out, so that is very good news for the Philadelphia Phillies. Ranger Suarez, number 1 in MLB. Number 2, Seth Lugo of the Kansas City Royals. Are you kidding me? After 12 starts. And Reynaldo Lopez, number 3 in all of MLB in ERA. incredible. In terms of saves around the game, that man, Emmanuel Clase, not Classy, is up there at 18. Ryan Helsley of the Cardinals, Robert Suarez of the Padres, Kyle Finnegan, somebody indeed the Cubs should look at. But it's hard to think about trading for a closer when so many other issues have presented themselves on the Cubs. It is Matt Spiegler with you on Hit and Run. Looking forward to what should be a fun day of baseball. Obviously, you got Cubs and Reds coming up in a little bit. In terms of the White Sox, they've got the Brewers again this afternoon. That's coming up at 1:10. Nick Nastrini against Freddie Peralta in that one. But before we get out of here, wanted to let you hear from Richard Deitch on this week's episode of the PBP. The PBP Voices of Baseball is a podcast I love doing so much. Talk to different play-by-play voices from all around the game every single week. I can tell you that this week's guest upcoming is going to be Chip Carey, the voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, and obviously the grandson of Harry Carey, longtime voice of the Cubs, former Cub of the voice of the White Sox. Chip, also the son of Skip Carey, the longtime voice of the Atlanta Braves. So third generation broadcaster Chip Carey, he'll be this week's guest on the PBP. But on last week's show, which you'll hear a snippet of now, thought we would talk about a little bit about John Schriffen of the White Sox, a little bit about Jenny Kavnar of the Oakland A's, and a little bit about the state of Major League Baseball play-by-play with Richard Deitch. But one thing we also got a chance to do with Richard is to talk about his favorite calls in all of baseball history as a devotee of play-by-play, as a devotee of sports and broadcasting in general. The media critic from The Athletic and The New York Times, Richard Deitch, talking about his favorite calls in the history of baseball. All right, Richard, if I were to ask you for your favorite call in the history of baseball on the radio or television.
Wow.
I know, it's pretty vast. I'm aware. If you need a minute, it's okay. But it could be anything by anybody from the history of the game. There's nothing quite like it, obviously.
Well, that's a good one. I mean, I love Jack Buck's call, Kirk Gibson's, obviously.
And have Sacks batting, but we have a big 3-2 pitch coming here from Eckersley. Gibson swings and a fly ball to deep right field. This has got to be a home run. Unbelievable! A home run for Gibson. And the Dodgers have won the game 5-4. I don't believe what I just saw. I don't believe what I just saw. Is this really happening, Bill?
It is happening, and they've got to help him home. The third base coach, Joe Malfitano, had to give him a little push, and all the Dodgers are around home plate.
I don't believe what I just saw. One of the most remarkable finishes to any World Series game. A one-handed home run by Kirk Gibson, and the Dodgers have won it 5-4. I am stunned, Bill. I have seen a lot of dramatic finishes in a lot of sports, but this one might top almost every other one.
I also like Buck's call when I think the Twins sent it to Game 7, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
Into deep left center for Mitchell, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
Yeah, but Jack Senior did it, and then Joe did it.
I do like, I will say, growing up, to me, one that really always stayed with me is Bob Murphy when Mookie Wilson scored.
And the pitch by Stanley, and a ground ball, trickling, it is a fair ball, hit by Buckner, pounding third night, the Mets will win the ball game, the Mets win, they win! Unbelievable, the Red Sox in stunned disbelief. A slow ground ball went right through the legs of Buckner down the right field line. The Mets have won the ball game.
This one is just, again, as a New Yorker that always stays with me just because, it's had such an impact nationally is when Cosell basically announced on Monday Night Baseball that the Bronx was burning.
That's a live shot again of that fire in the South Bronx that Keith called to your attention just a few moments ago. Wonder how many alarms are involved, but as Keith said, the fire department really has its work cut out for it.
It became the famous title of a miniseries and all that stuff, where the fire in the background of Yankee Stadium.
And that's during a baseball game. I forgot. Yes. I thought you were going to say John Lennon during Monday Night Football. But
no, check that out. Yeah. And then obviously, you know, the Bronx had a great revitalization and turnaround. But yeah, go back and check that out. I think it was 77. But Cosell basically mentioned that, and it was on national TV, and you know, it was obviously a very, very big deal back in the day in New York. But yeah, that's, I mean, listen, the great thing about baseball is, I mean, you can choose from 1,000 of these. That's
what's great. Yeah, I can't wait to go back and listen to the Buckner and Mookie Wilson play on Mets radio, because the TV call is so amazing. Scully, Boog Shambi pointed it out. When you listen to the Scully call, Scully says, behind the bag, it gets through Buckner.
So the winning run is at second base with two out, 3-2 to Mookie Wilson. Little roller up along first, behind the bag, it gets through Buckner, here comes Knight, and the Mets win it!
So choosing that in real time, he might not have seen that it went through the legs, but he sees that the man is there and he's supposed to have stopped it.
You know? Yeah, I mean, you know, again, there's a reason why he's the Poet Laureate.
Richard Deitch, the longtime media critic and this week's guest on the PBP Voices of Baseball. Once again, please find that on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. The PBP Voices of Baseball. I do that show. I do Parkins and Spiegel, which will be back tomorrow on The Score. Parkins and Spiegel will be on the field on Tuesday at Wrigley Field. Cubs Sox will be there during batting practice. Guests include Nico Horner, Craig Counsell, Steve Stone, and more. Surprises to come. Really looking forward to that. Thank you so much to all of you who listened and called and texted today on Hit and Run. This show is such a joy to do in our unique two-team town. Thank you to Sean Sears for doing a great job producing, as he always does. Thank you to the guests on today's show. John Dewan from Baseball Info Solutions was on the show. Gordon Wittenmeyer, the longtime Cubs beat writer and now the Reds beat writer, was on the show. Tony Andracki from Marquee Sports Network as well. Cubs and Reds pregame is next. Keep it right here on 670 The Score. Thanks, everyone. Talk to you on Parkins and Spiegel tomorrow.
It feels like this run the White Sox are on, we're catching teams at the wrong time.
Well, there's that. There's a few other reasons, but that's certainly one of them. I mean, the Brewers have been playing good, solid baseball all year, and they really didn't know what they were going to have coming in.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.